What's up, everybody? It is another episode of Final X Legends. I am Joshua. This is the Billion Dollars Writer Club, and I got the amazing T.L. Shively here, who is an amazing, amazing writer. Miss Shively, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, Joshua. Thank you very much for having me.
It is my honor. So could you tell us a little bit about, you know, your book? What's the name of it? What genre is it? You know, get me hyped about it. Is it horror? Is it gory? Is it scary? Is it romantic? Is there an amazing hero? What is it? Get us hyped up about your novel.
Well, I've actually got a series, and it is young adult fantasy. Mm-hmm. In this series, we've got seven teenagers that become the guardians of Sanctuary. Ooh. They are wanting to protect the magical world in Sanctuary from the Shadow Master and his minions.
Ooh, I like this.
Yes. So I've got the first book is The Secret Sanctuary, and that's where you meet the guardians. And you get to read the story along as they learn their powers and almost, you know, blow each other up with them once or twice.
Natural.
Of course. And so they get to learn those. They get Crystal Crims, which is crystal with metal. And they look like little wands, but when you use the when their power imbues with them, they become weapons. You've got a bow. You've got nunchucks. You've got a whip.
Mm. Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Love the laws and the magical, you know, laws that you're putting in place. I love it. And when I read this, I want to see how well you follow your own structure. And I just want to say real quick, while we got our fans listening and whatnot, as she has world built her story and she's implemented these structures and physical and magical laws into her world, it's important to remember the laws that you have in place. So that way you stay within the realism of your story. Just because this is, you know, fiction and we write and recraft doesn't mean to go overboard in your own vessel, you know, and I believe it's beautiful. And I can tell from listening to you and your passion that you keep within in the framework of believability. And I'm an anime fan. I love cartoons, heroes. So the whole, you know, mystical heroes versus the Shadow Master and then the weapons and all that is just, it is very encapsulating, you know. So what gave you the inspiration for this story?
Oh, the Guardians, they're actually characters I created. And I was like 10 years old. It's around that time. Mm. I had actually created them as friends.
Amazing.
And they have been that long with me. And I've had people who have read the story and like in this, amazed at how well they work together. Well, they should. They have been with me for a very long time.
Absolutely. I know that feeling. I've been writing since I was about between 10 and 12, and there are characters and abilities and traits and, you know, cities and places that exist within that original story that have of course grown and changed, but the originality of the rapport between the characters is there. So that's really cool, you know. And is this story complete? Is it out for, like, can we get a copy of it, or are you still working on it?
Actually, now it's a series, and the series is not done yet, but I have four books published right now.
Amazing. Are these books pertaining to this book series?
Oh, yes. They are all in the series. You've got the book one, which is The Secret Sanctuary, book two, The Town That Time Forgot. Book three, which released last December, is The Battle of Sleeping Lady. And I have a short story prequel that is called The Independence Mine Disaster.
Perfect. Perfect. Amazing. So, next thing I want to know. In your story, these characters, what would you say is the biggest, you know, connecting factor? I mean, when you have this magical story grounded in, you know, magic, what are the realistic, you know, character traits or tropes or, you know, plot lines that you're using to keep our readers entertained and grounded in the story and keep them turning the pages?
Well, in my story, it is a struggle for teenagers, and it's them trying to, I mean, you've got teenagers with power, so that's a lot of responsibility, and they need to learn to work as a team. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think everybody needs.
Absolutely.
You got to rely on others. You've got to open yourself up. And it's like in my book one, they have a friend they end up making that they didn't think they would make. So you need to realize that there is more to people than what you see.
Absolutely. That's an amazing point right there. I actually, in my own personal life, have been through something like that. One of my closest friends, his name is Adam. When we met in high school, I'm an African American black man, melanated skin, king of kings, whatever you want to identify me as. My other best friend Angel, he is Hispanic, and Adam is white. When I first met Adam, Adam was this gothic emo. Chains, the JNCO jeans with the big old, it was just all black, the typical emo kid, like red. Honestly, Adam, I know you're probably listening, but Adam looked like the school shooter. Like I'm just gonna keep it real. And Adam had a big problem with, I wouldn't say problem, but he had very strong opinions on, race, people stick with their own kind and whatnot and stuff like that. And, I remember not liking him because I remember, because I've dated outside my race and whatnot. And I remember, yes, it's funny because before we met, he actually didn't like me because a girl that he liked had a crush on me and he heard about something that happened between us. And Lord, I don't even know how people found out about that. But anyways, Jesus. The funny thing is that he didn't like me. And then when I first saw him, I was like, it's funny that he didn't like me because I assumed the reason I didn't want to, be friends with him because I'm like, this guy wouldn't be friends with me. Look at him. He looked like one of them emo kids that just, hate black folk. And it's funny that we all just became this amazing trio. Like, I mean, junior year and senior year of high school were amazing. We always had this spot we'd all meet up at. We all lived pretty close to each other to where we could walk to each other's houses and we played hacky sack in school and we were the boys. We the boys. And I like the fact that you have that in your story, characters who you didn't think would even be cool with each other, become the best of friends and whatnot. And that's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing
people
thing.
People can relate to that.
It's exactly. Especially when people overcome the sins in the world that try to, divide humanity.
I'm trying to think of the word. My husband makes fun of me because as an author, I know what I want to say, but it's hard to come up with the word.
It happens all the time.
Thank you. I try telling him that. He goes, no. He goes, you're the only author I know that says that. I says, oh, no. Thank you.
Man, we all do it. Just on a podcast that I was on earlier, I know the word is benevolent, but benevolent. But it just would not come out. God. And then one bad habit I have as a writer, I'm not sure if anybody else does this, but when I type a word, if I misspell the word, I don't use the autocorrect function. I will literally delete the whole word and write it out again. Even if I'll mess it up 2-3 times and I'll keep deleting it until I type it right because I don't want to cheat. And then I also just get very fed up with the fact I'm like, how am I a writer? I know this word. I know how to spell it. There's no reason I should need this computer to fix my words for me. So it's fun.
I'll type mine into the Google search bar because if you go to spell it wrong, it'll spell it out for you because it's like I can see it. But and then when I do that and I'll sound it out myself so I know what I'm saying. There we go.
Yep. Yeah, I know exactly how you feel. So I want to ask you, tell me about this Shadow Master. What is he like? What is he doing? What pissed in his soup and coffee to make him want to be the Shadow Master and just, fuck shit up?
Well, actually, you will not meet, this is probably a spoiler, but you will not meet the Shadow Master until book 3.
That's fine. I mean, but obviously he has events in play, right? Or is your story you know, more so focused on the character building and then he's introduced in book four? Or is he like a prominent force and villain, but we don't see him until book four?
Well, he's actually, and somebody else has made the comment when they've read my books, that I've got a story within a story. And I like to do that.
Yeah, same here. Same, that those make the best stories, you know?
Yes.
Like, I know exactly, oh, God, I love
There's
you.
There's an onion. You got an onion with multiple layers.
Layers.
Exactly. So I can't give too much away because he's got his own story that's going to come out. And this is what the Guardians, they are, in each book, they learn something new. And I try not to give away too much, but I don't like too bad of cliffhangers.
Mm-hmm.
But I give little hints. And this series is going to be them learning exactly what happened. And so they need to learn what created the Shadow Master. Because to them, the Shadow Master is just someone that is draining the magical essence from the world, from the creatures, the gnomes, the fairies, and, you know, just doing it so he can engulf the world in blackness. And that's what they were told. And that they are part of these guardians, that every guardian before them have gone against the Shadow Master and died.
Ooh.
And, you know, they're trying to stop the cycle. The Shadow Master is bringing forth and this is my own word I came up with. I don't think there is a word like it, but I saw it one time and I used it. It was Magine, M-A-G-I-N-E. And it is a creation of the Shadow Master is what they're told. That they will be going to fight that and they need to basically fight it and put it back to sleep to save the world. But in doing so, every guardian set before them has perished. So... Mm-hmm. This time they want to be different, and for them to not die, they need to find out the true story within their story.
That sounds amazing. Look, I'm going to need you to let us know right now where we can find the links to all of your stories. I want to know all of your social medias. And then also, when we get done with this, make sure to send me all of these links so I can put them in the description so that all of these amazing people can hear and go find this story themselves and purchase it and read it and take themselves on that amazing journey that I'm picturing this story in my head right now. And I'm actually, you know, seeing it as a cool little movie, too.
I've been told it would make a good one. So, all right. Well, I do have a website, and I actually had it created for me. It's tlshively.wixsite.com. And it's like, I'll have to give you the link on it, but it is on Wix, and it's TL Shively Author. My books can be found at Amazon. There's even Walmart Online, Apple, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, which I was actually kind of surprised when I looked on my Facebook page and saw a Kobo ad with my books on there. That was kind of nice to see.
That is nice.
I have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook like. I even have a group called Tease Slide Minions. I have an Amazon page, Twitter, Goodreads, Instagram. Oh,
you all over the place, Mamacita.
I try. I know. And they some say, you know, get everywhere, and some say be careful on that. And
but you know what? Have you heard of Linktree?
Linktree, yes. I actually have one. An author friend of mine who is a wonderful and has helped me out so much. He helped me with that. So I got the link tree and I got that link to my Instagram. Yeah, that's what I had to think for a second.
Well, I definitely would like that link. So that way we don't have to bombard everybody with a million and one links. It's amazing that you're on a lot of platforms, and I'm glad that you mentioned these platforms so that way our listeners that are just starting out or even those that are published can, you know, expand. There's one of the reasons I'm doing this is because it's so aggravating when they're – I actually was speaking to a writer this morning on Facebook before I got set up for my interviews for today. And they, I was talking to them. There are certain writers that are entitled and that believe that once they have a book, it should sell. And they get very upset when nobody's buying it, but they're not putting any work into marketing it or selling it. So as I was speaking with him, I asked him, you know, where's he been marketing his book? And he's only been marketing on Facebook. So I was like, you know, you need to step into the realm of Instagram and Twitter. And I'm not an idiot. I'm very empathetic. And I can sense and hear and feel human emotions across the world. Just because you type something on a computer and you're in Nigeria don't mean I don't know the sass that's behind what you just said. You know, like,
yeah.
I can sense it and hear it as plain as if he was in front of me. So I had to address this individual to expand their marketing aspects. You know, you may have your book on Amazon, but there might be somebody out there that, you know, only really reads on Wattpad or only really reads on you know, books from Barnes and Nobles and stuff like that. You need to expand into every territory you can, Goodreads and Twitter and Instagram and other social media aspects. So that way you can maximize your potential reach, you know? Like, why limit yourself? I've been talking to a few people who are like, oh, I'm not tech savvy, or I'm not good with talking or audio. You're not good with talking? You don't talk about your book? Nani? Huh? You know, and people limit themselves. And it's sad to say, it's what makes, you know, the difference between the New York Times bestsellers and the people who give up on the dream. So, you know, I'm amazed by you. At this time, I would like to ask, is there any advice that you would like to give to our listeners, you know, anything that helped you get through any rough obstacles, anything that you feel like would benefit even just one person listening?
Well, the best advice I can give anybody is to listen. Listen to exactly what you just said. Listen to other authors. I will ask advice, and when you get the advice, do not take it personally. They are, you know, if they're willing to help you, take that advice. You want to get your name out there. You do. You want to try and get a hold of libraries around you. See if they do events for local authors. Get in the farmer's market. I have been to book signings, which real big ones, and they cost money, big table, and there's a lot of people there. And I have been small little, like a farmer's market at a local book place around me. And they do little markets. They do like a Harry Potter's. I have sold more in those small little farmer's market where the table's like $10, $15 than I have in the big one where my table was like, you know, $45, $50. But you've got to get out there, and I will tell you, there are so many times I've tried to describe my book and I felt like a total idiot. But if you don't, you're not going to get anything out there.
Yes, absolutely. And something you just said, I believe people do need to practice speaking about their book, because I've ran into people who, you know, I ask them what their book's about and they start jumping all over. They don't even know where to begin. They start talking from the most exciting part from their point of view. And that you immediately lose the listener because they have no idea what the part of this book you're talking about. People do need to get in a familiar sense of how to introduce themselves and how to hook somebody in. You know, I give people this scenario as well. Like, there's this amazing anime out called Attack on Titan, right? I'm pretty sure most people have heard of it. It's like a major thing around the globe. Not sure if you have, but
I think my son watches that.
More than likely he does.
He's college age, he's 19, and he loves anime.
Yep. He's watching Attack on Titan. If anybody is into anime right now, they're watching Attack on Titan. So the thing about Attack on Titan is, and you can ask your son, when we get done, I want you to actually talk to me at one point and ask him, hey son, what is Attack on Titan about? I guarantee you he's going to say it in a way similar to this. It's this amazing anime that starts off with these people that live inside these walls. And then one day, they got these titans that live on the other side of these walls that eat people. And then these titans, and they kick in the walls, and then this colossal titan shows up, and then this armor titan shows up, and then the main character's mom gets eaten in the first episode. And it's when I first came across Attack on Titan, I actually got to see it before anybody told me about it. But I promise you, for about 3 to 4 months after Attack on Titan came out, that's how majority of people talked about it. And the reason why I'm saying this is because it was gripping. Like, you were like, what? Like, and I want people to get familiar with being able to, like, because some people talk about their book and then they bore you. Oh my God, they get so boring. It's like, Jesus, like, where is the exciting part to this story? Like, you've been talking to me and talking to me and talking to me, but nothing sounds exciting. Like, you've got to be able to express your book that gets people hyped. Get that energy out, you know? So, and if you don't have that in you at that moment, then you've got to rewrite or reformat or reassess, you know, yourself in the book and connect with it and bring that hypeness, you know?
Agreed.
So that was some wonderful advice that you gave. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our fans before we wrap this up?
Oh, okay. You know, we talked about so much and I'm trying to think and I'll give you the page links there. I will also say that the next book, my goal is to have it out by this summer. Now, I've got one reader, a little boy, he's like 9 and he loves my series. And it really kind of chokes me up sometimes when I hear that. I have to let his grandma know each time a new book comes out. And I was informed, because he got my last one for Christmas, that his birthday's in June, with a big hint. So I'm like, I can try. I will do my best. So
you go on ahead. Now you gonna make this happen. We are gonna make this happen. Okay.
Okay, I like that.
Yes, that's what I want to hear. I want you to stick with it. Miss TL Shively, everyone. This is our creator standout of the day, our last one of the day. You all have a beautiful day. Thank you for joining us on the Final X Legends Billion Dollars Writer podcast. You guys are amazing. I love you all. I'm going to make sure to leave all of her links in the description so that way you guys know that she is not too far away. She is available on Facebook, Instagram, and a slew of other social medias. This author right here has a lot of talent and a lot of success that she's already gained and has a lot more success coming her way. So you guys stay tuned for everything that Ms. Shively has coming. This is Joshua. I'm out.